it's so disco. That's my favorite like disco kind of music. It used to be and you can unmute yourself. When I first started the show, it was Bill Withers' "Lovely Day." It
Nice,
was my
yeah.
favorite song. But then when we went to this 2-hour format and it was more and more and more, I was like, I gotta have a different song. So that was the song. So welcome,
Thank
welcome,
you.
Donnie,
Yes,
Donnie,
thank you.
Donnie Zanutti, Zanutini,
There you go.
Frank.
Yes.
Oh my God, it is such a joy to have you here. I've been wanting to have someone from the Jazz Collective, the Yale Undergrad Jazz Collective, for a very long time. So I've been a fan for a few years now. And the Jazz Festival, this is how I found out about the Yale Undergrad Jazz Collective. I went to the Jazz Festival, and it was running at the same time the Africa Salon was running. So what there was stuff at the Yale Museum. There was stuff at so I was running back and forth, and everything was like it was like a lovely marriage of two different cultures. And that's how I learned about the Yale Undergrad Jazz Collective. So you're playing tonight, the first time in a long time that there's a student component to it, like a student concert to this.
Yeah, thanks for that lovely introduction. I love the excitement. So the Jazz Collective, just like a short hit, we like, you know, there's we sort of try to make, as you said, like make there be like a scene and sort of connect to different scenes that there already are artistically on campus and make, you know, make jazz happen and make it be part of the thing. And part of, for a long time, that has been like bringing in guest artists and like having, and that's, and having concerts like
Amazing guest artists, like unbelievable guests. Do you know how many CDs I have?
Well, don't we still do that? We still do that. So that's, and like we think that's really great, and like it's super, it's exciting for us because, you know, like it's great, like, you know, we're college kids. I'm 21. It's great to get to like chat with some professional musician. You know, like it's a
Have
really,
you always been a musician? Like, when did you start playing instruments?
so I play guitar. I had my first lesson when I was the day after my 7th birthday. And I moved here to New Haven when I was just before I turned 9, and I was at the neighborhood music school
Oh,
then.
I used to be on their board many years ago,
Great,
so I
yeah.
may have seen you.
It's an institution. Yeah, so I've been playing and sort of been part of my life. Music has been always there. And when I got to college, I like found this group of people who like were making it happen, who were playing and were bringing it to school, and we're like, you know, and it's great to be part of that. It's great to, it feels really like alive, you know.
So when did you know that jazz was it for you? Because I mean, you could have picked rock and roll, you could have picked folk music, you could
Well,
have picked, you know,
yeah.
Wilson Pickett. I mean, you could have picked
Well,
all kinds of stuff. Like, how did you know that jazz spoke to you and you just wanted to, I mean, because you know, jazz is the art form given to the world by Africans and African Americans. So to see you and your cohorts play this music, it's amazing that the music is still speaking to folks.
I have to show my cards a little bit. I play all kinds of music. I don't just play jazz. I grew
Okay.
up mostly playing classical music, and I still play a lot of classical music. And I play like, you know, pop music with friends and stuff. And I also play like, you know, rock and soul and all sorts of things. And I really like Baroque music, like music from like the 1600s. But jazz speaks to me in particular. It feels like, I mean, I can't say I just love, I feel like I'm not like, my jazz isn't my only love, but it is one of my many. Like I think, I mean, I don't know. I think two reasons. One, I grew up with it. Like my dad had played a lot of jazz growing up, and we listened to a lot of stuff. You know, just it was the Beatles and Bill Evans. And, you know, like that was kind of the playlist. And I got really, and it's still what I listen to. You know, like it's great. And the other thing is, like, you know, like as you said, it's like the Black American art form. It feels very like important to like do my part to keep it alive. Not that like it's dying in any way. It's more alive than it's ever been in my book. But it's like an honor to be part of that creation that is like so important to our country's history and like so important to our country's present. And like, you know, it's a great way to like interact with people and to meet people and to like express yourself and hear other people's expressions. Yeah, it's a great tradition to like Maybe not necessarily be part of, because I don't feel like I deserve to say that I'm like part of the jazz tradition, but to like interact with, you know, it's like a very exciting thing.
I think you will absolutely consider you a part of the jazz tradition. So when they made the, when did they make the decision to have a student concert
Yeah.
component to this? Because I know
So,
they had one before and then it kind of went away, I guess, or whatever,
yeah.
but now it's back.
Yeah, so when I came, as I said, when I was a freshman, like my first year here, there was no student shows in the Jazz Collective. And all of our friends were like, we'd like tell them about the concert. And like maybe like for you, like, or for me, like it's great, like here's this professional. But if I'm like telling my friend, oh, you should come to this concert on Friday night, and they're like, are you playing? And I'm like, no, it's like this great like saxophonist from New York. And they're like, okay, like sorry. Like, I'm not. So we realized we could get a lot more excitement if we played. So last February, we were doing a, we did an Underbrook, and we were doing one of the concerts in the in Saybrook College, like you know the smaller concerts that we have, and we had a group from the New School in New York. So we were like, okay, we have their students, we should have our students too. So we did it, and people loved it, you know, and people were thrilled to have that and to have like you know their friends playing, and they love to see that. And we also had a concert last year because you know 1959 was a big year in jazz history. There was a lot of albums that were like the album Giant Steps came out, album Kind of Blue, album Time Out by Dave Brubeck came out, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, Moan came out. So it's a lot of like really like timeless albums from a certain time, I guess. So we did a concert of all music from that year, and people had a great time playing in it and had a great time coming to it. So we decided that like it would be good if we did the festival this year to include, you know, also like with the festival, usually we have concerts, and we do this year too. Like tomorrow night, we're having Michael Gregory Jackson, who's this great guitarist, who actually a New Haven local, and you know, important figure of the jazz scene in New York in the 70s and 80s, and you know, has still made his mark today. But like, we were like, you know, it would be great if we could actually like get peeps like students playing, because you know, people love to see that, and nobody's seen their friends perform since. I mean, I haven't performed since March. Nobody has, you know, like so
Yeah, COVID, you know, the pandemic has shut everything down.
exactly. But like it was nice to it was nice to sort of to include that. So what we're doing tonight is we have me and my friend Ethan, who is a saxophonist. We have a duo that we've been doing this whole year. We just play guitar and sax. It's really nice. I think we're playing some songs. And also we have a group of six people who didn't, it was, this is the first half of the show. The second half is me and Ethan. The first half is me and Ethan again. And then Jaren, who's this drummer, who's great. Lauren, who's a pianist. Akil, who also plays sax, and Calvin, who's a bass player. And I had only played with Calvin and Ethan before. The other three I'd never played with in my life because, you know, they came to school, they're younger than me. So they came to school basically during a pandemic, but we got together on a Saturday. We found a way to all be in different rooms and play together. We played for 4 hours and we recorded four songs, and we're hearing it, you know? So,
I was reading about that, and
yeah.
I'm excited. So what was that like? To sort of, I mean, was it challenging? Was
Yeah.
it exciting? Like, and do you feel like, okay, we captured it, we got it, it's done, it's.
I mean, I think like, I think it, like, I was, so last weekend we had a show. Our first weekend was a show with this guy Nick DiMaria. Do you know him? Have you heard of him? He's a
He
trumpet
is my
player.
great love.
Okay, great. I was just making sure. He is somebody who has made a way to keep performing live throughout the pandemic,
Yes,
and
yes.
I admire it so much. And like every Wednesday, you know, he's got his Mind the Hang going, and you know, more recently he's been doing the shows in the restaurants, and it's like, you know, it reminded me of like what's exciting about live music, that it's not like every
Yes.
note is perfectly rehearsed. It's not that, like, it's just that like it's alive and it's happening, and like you're
Yes.
with it and you're there. And like, I don't know, seeing his show last weekend really like made me excited to record with everybody, because then like we got in and it was like, you know, it wasn't perfect, but everybody was listening. And like Jaren in particular, I'd never played with Jaren before, but he totally like blew me away. Like I didn't know what to expect, obviously. I knew he'd be good because I trust him and he's like a really good person and really serious. But he was like listening, and I felt like everything I played, he heard, and everything anybody played, he heard, everything. It was just, it felt like such a dynamic thing. That like, you know, I can't vouch for every note that I played. I can't say I didn't make any mistakes. I can't say that. But it felt so like good to be with people again, that like like we're going to get together, we're going to play, and we're going to see what happens. And you know, we were talking earlier about like old time jazz feeling. A lot of like jazz recordings from like, you know, the 1940s, 50s, 60s, even 70, even later, like we're just like a record label was like, all right, we want to record Clifford Brown, you know, we want a Clifford Brown recording. And in Philadelphia right now, there's this drummer and this bass player and this piano player. So we're gonna get them all in the studio and make the recording happen. And we only have 3 hours of studio time, but they're professional musicians and something is gonna come out of it. And there's mistakes on the recordings and there's bad takes, but it doesn't matter because it's great and it's happening, it's alive. And like, I feel like we captured some of the spirit of that, you know?
Now, are you at school studying music? Like, will you have a degree in music? So
Yeah.
where do you go with that? Like, what do you want to work for an orchestra? Do you want to? I don't want to sound like your parents because I know your parents
No.
are like, what the hell are you gonna do with that? But
You sound like my internal dialogue is what you sound
no,
like.
I mean, do you want to teach music? Do you want to perform music all over the world? Like how do you plot your trajectory?
I want to perform, I want to teach, I want to I don't know, because as I said earlier, I'm interested in a lot of different kinds of music. I want to keep playing jazz. I want to keep playing classical music. I want to keep experimenting. I want to write music. I want to do all sorts of things. And I also want to teach.
Oh,
And,
that's good,
you know, like,
right? Isn't
but
that
it's good because it means that whatever happens, it'll be something I want to do, you know, like,
good? Yeah,
it doesn't, you know, so I don't know. I mean, people, it's been a very difficult time for musicians and artists in general.
it has been. I'm on the board of the Arts Council when, and since the pandemic, we've been trying to get money to artists, particularly the ones that do a lot of gigging, to just to sustain them through this particular time. And I think it has really brought the awareness of how many musicians are in this community, who were working, honest to God, working musicians, and have it all stop, because of this pandemic.
I mean, it's like I mean I've been following like the Metropolitan Opera in New York, right? They're musicians. You like every like that for a classical musician who plays an orchestral instrument, that is like the dream job, right? And like for even for them to be struggling so much, like people who you think have made it has like really been like, I mean, everyone from them to like people who just like play gigs, not that that's totally legit too, but like everyone all over the ladder is struggling. It just like it makes it clear like how like fraught this profession is, this industry is, you know. It's like, you know, we're playing and hoping that somebody will listen and pay something for us to keep doing it. But you know, it also has shown that people don't do it because they expect a lucrative career out of it. You know, that's not why you go into the arts. You don't do it because you think that it's going to be safe and it's going to be a confident. I mean, I like to think, this is actually what I'm saying right now is kind of a stolen from Noah Behrman, who was my teacher in high school, so I need to credit him now. But I like to think that like if I wanted to go into a more stable career path, I could. That, you know, if I really wanted to like, I don't know, work just in some traditional career, I could do that and I could probably have a more comfortable life. But there's something vital about music and like sharing it with people and teaching it and, you know, getting like even with the jazz collective stuff, like making it happen, even if I'm not playing or I'm not teaching, I just like brought people to a concert and I'm sitting there with them in the room. Like that feels very important and like something I want to devote my life to.
I love live music. So being able to do this festival virtually, how has it been received so far? Like, are y'all hearing any feedback, or are people saying, you know what, I wasn't sure about this, but I dig
Well,
it?
I wasn't sure about it, but I dig it. That's what I'm saying. I think a lot. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback. The Nick DiMaria show, which was last weekend, people were really excited about. A lot of people were, you know, like we. It's cool because like I obviously know his music, and a lot of people in the Jazz Collective obviously know his music. But the Jazz Collective often like, you know, he's got his whole thing that he's doing, which is great. And we've got our whole thing. Like the people who we reach with our audiences are different. So like the people who might be on our mailing list might not be on the New Haven Jazz Underground mailing list. So they might not know that he's doing these shows. And it's cool to like, you know, see people like, you know, cross-fertilize. Like they hear his music, they're really excited about it. And you know, he's been doing live streams forever, but like, you know, now we got to have other people listen to it and people were really excited about it. Last night we had an event with Tia Fuller,
Yes, I missed that because I wanted. Oh my God, I was in two board meetings at the same time on my desktop and on my phone, and I was trying to like get out of them so I could go because I wanted to see her so badly. I was like, she's right here, and I can't tune
Well,
in.
it's on Facebook if you want to
I'm gonna
check
go watch.
it
Listen, that is my afternoon. Let
out.
me tell you something with a little bit of bourbon. I'm telling you, because there's a conversation too, right? And then she plays a little bit.
Yeah,
So, I
exactly.
mean, to see a black woman in jazz is just, it's
Exactly.
incredible. So, and she's like, mwah, you know, so.
She's a great musician, and like, I mean, a lot of the conversation was about the movie Soul, which she was
Yes.
the image for. And it's a, you know, it's an, it was about like her, like, she is a very prominent woman in jazz, and particularly a black woman who like has a very prominent role in, like, she teaches at Berkeley. She, you know, she's a very like acclaimed musician, and she's very open about the fact that that's an exception. You know, there are not many people like that. There are not many black women in that role in the sort of public, and that makes it very difficult. There's a lot of, I mean, she wrote an article for, I'm feeling bad because I'm blanking on what publication it was, but I think it was Rolling Stone, just about like the treatment that she got as a young person trying to make it. And you know, I think like the people talk a lot about the movie Soul and like how important it is as like showing like, you know, like jazz as a element in popular culture and the popular conscience, and that is still alive and still important. But I think in particular the fact that there's a black woman is like the person who represents like jazz stardom, I think is a really good thing. Like we struggle a lot in the jazz collective actually to sort of to make sure that we're not excluded, that we're not making a culture that is exclusive, and that, you know, that people who are not traditionally like the kinds of groups that would be involved in this kind of music are involved and play and come and feel included. Because a lot of people did grow up playing and just feel at some point like it wasn't for them because of something. And we sort of try to make it the opposite of that. You know, like I play classical guitar too, and it's a very similar thing. When you look at classical guitarists who are age 7, 10, 12, you know, whatever, it's equal gender split. And then you get to college, to conservatory, and it's almost all men. And you know, we have to, I think no small part of that is like emphasizing the fact that there, you know, there are women who are important parts of the artistry, and you know, highlighting that and talking about it and keeping it in the sort of forefront. And you know, I think Soul was an important step in that, and I think it was great to be able to talk about that and then be able to showcase her not just as a figure but also as a, you know, very interesting and like thoughtful speaker and also great musician and performer. So I
I
was really
appreciate
excited.
you. I appreciate the thought of consciousness around when you all get together and you say, who's not at this table? Or who do we need to pay homage to? Like that, like you could just play music and not think about any of that. But the fact that you all are doing that diligence is very forward thinking, I think. And I think the world changes when you can see that happen.
I mean, I think when you're playing jazz at a place like Yale, you have to, you know, like Yale is I'm consider myself very lucky to be a student here, and I'm very happy to be part of the institution. And it's, you know, it's also like not where jazz grew up, you know, to put it bluntly, like, you know, so.
But if you leave the campus and you go down Dixwell Avenue, it's
For sure.
got a huge history of jazz
Absolutely.
nightclubs that used to
Absolutely.
populate the scene. So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
And you know, we try to we but even in New Haven, you know, like there's a sort of disconnect between the sort of like there I think there's a lot of different images of what jazz in New Haven is among jazz musicians in New Haven. We actually had a panel in, I think it was late November, early December, with Jesse Hameen, who is, you know,
Yeah,
a great
I know
drummer,
him, know him very well.
and Jeff Fuller
Yep.
and Nick DeMaria,
Yeah.
again. And it was a really interesting conversation about like how they see the role of jazz, like, because you know, there was the Dixwell scene, but that's not really the scene anymore.
Nope, it's not the scene.
But a
And
lot
jazz is
of
very white right now. Well, it has been white for a very long time. In terms of audience
yeah
and you
but
know, that kind of thing.
But it's also not, I mean, you know, like it's like it depends on what you consider jazz, you know, like there's a lot of music that people are playing that, like, you know, in churches or in social clubs or at the Stetson Library. You know, maybe my jazz history professor wouldn't think is really
you get around.
You know,
you
like
are getting around. Let me tell you.
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's important to think about. I think it's important to, like, remember that, like, it's not like this music is a thing. Like, I was reading an article in, I'm not going to say what local publication the other day, that actually I don't even remember what, so I can't say, but was saying, like, oh, the peak of jazz in New Haven has passed. Like, jazz. And I was like,
how dare they?
So. Like, I just don't think so. Like,
I don't either.
I mean, it's certainly true. Like, when Jeff was growing up, Jeff Fuller, who's actually, he's been a mentor of mine. And, you know, when he was growing up, he could go to, you know, the Monterey Club and play, and there would be someone, or, you know, there was a club at where Foundry Music is, right?
Yep.
And he would go and he'd play, and there'd be some, like, serious cats from New York, and, you know, it'd be a really exciting experience. You know, he spent like 15 years traveling with Lou Donaldson in Europe, because he was, one night he got a call from the guy who's running the club, running the jam, and he was like, yeah, like, Lou Donaldson is in tonight, you should come. And he came, and he knew the changes to all the tunes that Lou Donaldson called. He was like, hey man, I have a gig next week in New York, I need a bass player, can you come? And then that was it. And that kind of thing doesn't really happen anymore, you know? But that doesn't mean that the scene isn't alive. If anything, it actually means that it's more alive, because, like, there's more people everywhere who are playing at a really high level. Like, there's a jam at Cafe Nine every weekend, you know, like,
yes,
there's some really great local musicians.
Yes. You know, yes.
They might not be the famous people in New York City, but they're great. And yes, that's a scene. And there's a scene, you know, Nick DeMaria's got his scene going.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's things that I don't know the first thing about. I mean, I'm sure that I'm only plugged into, like, I only know about a few things, and I'm plugged into a few things. And I just, there's this whole world out there. I mean,
yes,
like, it's really exciting to, like, it's not as connected. And, you know, I see part of my role and our role as sort of an institution of jazz in New Haven as doing what we can to sort of help build connections and connect ourselves and connect things that might not be connected already, and sort of help create a community. But that,
how do y'all keep the Jazz Collective going? Because y'all are going to graduate and go on about your business, you know? So yeah. how does it have longevity? Do you recruit people? How do people find y'all? And, you know, are you students? And I mean, I know you're students, but, like, how do you keep the music playing?
Yeah, well, we've had people. I mean, so I was talking, Jeff, he was also an undergrad in the, you know, he's undergrad at Yale back in the 60s. And he says, like, basically since the 60s, there's been students at Yale who like to play jazz. There's this movie, I forget what it's called. Oh, yes, it's called Jazz on a Summer's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Is from 1958, I want to say.
Okay.
And it was from the Newport Jazz Festival in 58 or 59 or something. And in it, there's this car driving around the city of Newport of Yale students playing jazz. so Yale students are playing, and, you know, there's some institutionalized jazz at Yale too. But the point I'm trying to make is there always have been, there always will be people who play jazz at Yale.
Because the Duke Ellington series still runs,
exactly,
doesn't it? You
exactly
know? And I used to go to that all the time too, because you had the wonderful Willie Ruff heading up. I mean, he's retired, but I mean, I would go just because I dug him, and, you know, he brought some amazing folks.
Right. And, you know, Wayne Escoffrey teaches here now too. You know, it's,
oh, does he? See, I didn't realize that. I saw him in a lot of your things, but I was like, man, he's here a lot. I didn't realize he was teaching.
Yeah, he's teaching. No, he's him and Jeff are our two jazz faculty now, which is great. It's great to have them. And, you know, like, there's people, and our job is to find those people and be like, hey, come join our club. You know, like,
okay.
Come play with us. Come make music with us.
And come play under the underbrook. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's fun. We have jazz. Like, you know, it's hard to tell people to get, like, we have meetings every Monday nights for an hour to talk about how we're going to fund our next show, how we're going to publicize it, how we're going to get it.
Because y'all don't get any money from the university. Like, they don't, they throw you a little bit of money, but.
But we have to apply for it. You know, it's not, we're not part of the administration, right? We're a student group, and we have to apply for funding. And we apply for funding from Connecticut too, and we apply for funding from all sorts of bit local businesses, like we've had support from for our events. You know, we get funding where we can get it. The university has been very helpful, and you know, like we have to organize everything, and then we ask them to fund the things that we organize, rather than just like, for example, there haven't been in private lessons for jazz at Yale. That was a thing that, you know, we really thought it would be important if we're going to like cultivate a jazz scene on campus in the way that there's a classical music scene, that people who want to can practice and like study under a teacher, you know, that's how you play music. So we found teachers with Jeff's help who were local, because we thought it was, as a thing this year, we wanted to take, because of the pandemic, we thought it'd be important to support local musicians as much as we could. We found Connecticut jazz musicians who we could have teach our students, and we applied for funding, and the university said, sure, we will pay for this program, which was great. And now we have 10 students taking fully subsidized jazz lessons from musicians, which is great.
Wow, that is good news.
Yeah,
that is powerful news.
It's great. You know, it's making jazz happen on campus.
I tell you, sometimes I love these Yale students.
But you know, it doesn't happen by itself. Like, right. It was me and four other people had to sit, you know, during a school day on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning for 6 hours to read through applications and talk about who we were going to take and decide how we're going to run the program and send emails and write a form and write all these protocols and what happens if a student doesn't reach out to the teacher. And it's just a lot of work that, like, people love to complain about how many administrators there are and, oh, they don't do their job. There is so much administrative work to be done. I'm sure you know.
I do. There
is so much bureaucratic work. And it's hard to convince people. It's like, oh, you like jazz? How about you do all the bureaucratic work behind it to ensure that the other people who like it can appreciate it too? But there have always been people who want to do it. And this year, last year when I was a freshman and sophomore, it was like 7-8 people on the board. Now it's 20.
Wow.
Because we were like, we want to be more inclusive. We want to have different kinds of people. We want to have people who don't play jazz. There's this one kid who actually is going to be in leadership next year. His name is Zach, and he is a huge sweetheart. He is, you know, he grew up playing piano at his church and loving and listening to jazz. And, you know, he loved the music, but he never played. And he was like, you know, we were like, hey, Zach, like you should be in our board. Like you should be involved. And he was like, okay, like, I don't know if I feel comfortable. I was like, no, like you should, like, and he's been great. He hosted an event. He like organized, he's early to every meeting. We had our magazine and he did all the graphic design, you know, like it's just like even these little things, right? Like he did the graphic design for our jazz magazine, but like, that's, you know, that's what it takes to build a community.
Yes.
who want to participate in all sorts of ways. I mean, that's what the arts are. They're this lively thing that take a lot of weird moving parts, but when they happen, it's really magical, you know?
So you all are playing tonight. The concert is at what time?
8 p.m.
8 o'clock. And you can go on Facebook, because you all have a Facebook page.
Yes.
The Yale Undergrad Jazz Collective, or the Jazz Collective, the Undergrad Jazz
right.
Collective.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. And you can go there, because I've been sending it around in my circle, because I honestly had thought, because of the pandemic, that all of it has shut down. So to my surprise, when I was seeing the pop-up information, I was like, oh my gosh, look, it's back. So you can go, people can go and tune in, log in virtually and see these student musicians tonight. And then I think it continues tomorrow, right?
With Michael Gregory Jackson.
Michael Gregory Jackson, who should not be missed.
Not be missed.
Is that the last night of the festival?
Yes, and he'll be playing a solo show. It'll be like 45 minutes or so, and then there will be a reception afterwards on Zoom. So I get it if you don't want to be on any more Zooms ever again in your life, but totally, like, I get it. But if you want to come chat, we'll be there. You'll get to meet the collective and chat about the show and meet some other audience members. It's always fun to do that. And
yeah. So now does this end the jazz season for y'all? I don't know if you call the season. Does this end and then you get start planning for next year? Are y'all just keep playing or what happens?
No, usually our season is 3 Underbrooks in the fall. and then a few Underbrooks in the spring, and then the festival. Whereas this year we didn't do Underbrooks because we weren't allowed in the Underbrooks.
Like y'all can't come in here.
Right, exactly. So we actually did, last year we didn't do the festival. We did a concert, we did a student concert to raise money for actually the Arts Council's Artist Relief thing. And then that was like in May. And then in September we did a concert to commemorate Charlie Parker's 100th birthday. And then we did the New Haven Jazz panel. And then we did, am I missing something? No, wait, we helped, we sp we did, this wasn't our event, but we were co-sponsored for the Monk event. Marcella Monk Flake had this talk, and her whole organization had this talk.
She's going in the studio to cut her first album.
Oh, great. I didn't know that. Wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
I will.
I just heard from Phil Brown yesterday that she's going into studio today,
Wow.
and this is her first time recording, so I'm excited for her.
It's a good day for jazz in New Haven.
It is. I can't wait to have her on and talk to her.
Oh my
She's got
gosh.
that, she comes from a famous family of musicians and jazz musicians, so
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Yeah, so and I think yeah, with this we're, I mean, it's been a lot of work to organize this, you know, four events in a week. And you know, we talked a lot about like whether it was worth it to do it because like, you know, it's a video and if you want to go watch Tia Fuller talk about her life on YouTube, you can. You don't need us. But that's not really what the festival's about, right? Like if you wanted to watch concerts on YouTube, you always could, but it's like about bringing the music to the people who know about us and then might not know about this music. So I think we're, this is like a final push, and then after this, I think we're gonna relax a little
Gonna
bit.
relax. Yes.
Focus on
I
school,
mean,
you know, we are
listen,
students.
I appreciate the effort because I think it was a wonderful thing. And I can't wait to we can gather in person and sit and have people listen to live music because there's nothing like it in the world to sit and listen to live. I don't care whether it's classical, Baroque, R&B or gospel or whatever it is that lights your fancy. To hear live music is one of the great joys of the world, I think. So
Absolutely. No,
good luck tonight. I can't wait to see it. Thank you for coming on. I love your enthusiasm and your energy. I want you to promise me that you'll, when you guys get ready to launch next year, that you come back before you start, and so that we can start talking to this audience again and make this your home. Make my show your home.
absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much. I have to say, I was working for the city government this summer. And you know, like 10 a.m. would roll around, and I'd be on Facebook, and I saw you were live, and it was a great distraction from the work that I should have been doing. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
You. That's
Really,
very kind. And thank you for listening to the show yesterday.
of course. Thank you for doing that.
I appreciate different people and all kinds of people listening to these black men talk about fatherhood. So thank you. So
No.
I will be tuned in tonight. I'm gonna go and listen to Tia
All
a
right.
little later this afternoon because I'm gonna catch it. And I know Nick, he is my great love. So a high five to him. And I see him quite often. Well, I've caught him quite often in the past. So yeah. So thank
Great.
you so much. And good luck to you in your studies
All right, thank
and
you.
rest, please.
I will. I will. Don't worry. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay, Harry, let's play us out. It's Friday.
Right.